the Senate Committee on Health Care and Veterans Affairs, and we are having a public hearing on Senate Bill 23, and if I can call Jim Grant and Joyce back up, if you... Naturally, I didn't write down the two questions that Frank had.
I did. I would be happy to pick it up from where we left off.
That would be great.
Just before break, Senator Morse asked two questions. The first was about confidentiality of data received from hospitals, nursing homes, et cetera. Has that ever been challenged? Had our confidentiality protections ever been undermined? And the short answer is no. In 2003, the legislature crafted a very good set of rules about what kind of information would be held confidential, and the protections around those are well crafted and have not been challenged because they make sense. And as a patient safety organization under this new federal idea, we will gain even further confidentiality protections. So we now have a second layer that applies to any federal kind of information. So we are in good shape in that regard. The second question, interesting question, if you were to do a survey of providers, was the word Senator Morse used, what would we find? Is the commission approved of? Are we well accepted? Are we making a difference? There are others in the room that can speak to that also. I would say, yes, we are making a difference. I think that we have worked well with the Hospital Association. I know there is or was a representative of the Hospital Association in the room. We've worked carefully and closely with the Long-Term Care Association, the Oregon Health Care Association. I think there might be someone in the room also. We have shared written testimony from OHCA. It's in your packet in support of all three bills. We work closely with physicians. We work closely with across the healthcare continuum. So I think we have our challenges. We need to do a better job in getting information back to hospitals and others. But I think given the resources, given what we were intended to do, I think if you surveyed the community, if you surveyed our participants, you would get a thumbs up.
Just one final question that I have. Do you track the data that shows that medical errors are decreasing in the hospitals, or are they remaining the same since the commission started in the last 5 years?
Chair, mine is Anderson. I think the honest answer is we don't have good information to show whether there has been an increase or a decrease from our own information. National data suggests that there has probably been perhaps a small decline, but basically it's a difficult problem to solve. Institute of Medicine came out 10 years ago and said we need to reduce adverse events by 50% in 5 years. We have not done that. We are making progress, but can't give you, because we run a program that we encourage people to report. We actually think that more reports is a sign of a short-term success, because we're trying to create that trust we talked about and that openness to share information about hard things, difficult things. So if our numbers go up, we would conclude that we have a robust reporting program, not that we're suffering from a decline in quality. And our numbers are actually going up. Every year we get more reports. And so that, I would say, is actually a sign of success. A difficult thing to measure, though.
Right. Okay. He did answer the two questions that Frank Morse, Senator Morse said, and we will convey that to him. Is there any other discussion?
Can I make one last comment? With regard to Senate Bill 23 and 15, the finance piece of 23, I continue to see as really the shell or the accountability model. It's and it doesn't have any dollars attached to it. Depending on the final solution, if there is an answer to how the state might provide support, if the state says no, we cannot do that this year, it still to the commission might make sense to push through 23 to create a future mechanism, even though there are no dollars attached to it. But that would depend on the resolution, I think, of 15, and is there another way to provide state support?
Well, I'd like to have Senator Bates and Senator Cruz look at this, and then, if appropriate, we will bring those two bills back then. And Senator Morse, no confidentiality has not been challenged. And they feel they are making a difference and are approved from the providers that have had them. But you haven't had an actual survey, is that correct?
Chair, my name is Anderson. We do, we routinely poll hospitals and others. And again, we have the support of the Hospital Association, I think, confident of that. We do a good job. There are things we can do better. But if you survey hospitals, they participate. And they participate ever more meaningfully every year. We have some... One of the funding challenges is that we need better data analytical capability. That's the one thing that we would like to work on. If we had that piece, we could do a better job in providing support to hospitals and nursing homes, et cetera, et cetera. But I think, in general... we're doing a good job.
Dr. Higginson, yeah.
I had a discussion with my pharmacist the other evening when I picked up a prescription based on a conversation that comments that Senator Bates made about underutilizing various parts of the healthcare system. And it was an interesting conversation and concerning her take on how they could improve their system. What do you want from pharmacists? What specifically, how do you want them to participate in your system? Because I'd like to help you with that.
Thank you. Chair Marnius Anderson, Senator Morissette, we want retail pharmacies to sign an agreement with us to share data. We want them to be part of our voluntary and confidential reporting program, just like hospitals. Again, 56 of 58 hospitals, just like nursing homes, just like ambulatory surgery centers. We want them to be part of our confidential reporting program. We believe there is much to learn about medication errors in the retail pharmacies. We believe that no one chain can solve the problem. No one association can solve the problem. We need to pool our data and pool our smarts and move forward together. But it's a difficult sell for retail pharmacies. They're busy. They're scrappy little places. If they're neighborhood pharmacies, they have much to do. It's difficult for them to take on the challenge of figuring out a way to efficiently share data. But that's the challenge, and we're slowly making progress. As I said earlier, we have two big chains now that have agreed to participate. So that's a
which ones?
Fred Meyer and Walgreens.
We need to wrap this up. Grant
Chair,
Higginson.
Madam Chair, I just wanted to mention a couple of things. First is that the Public Health Division has had a special relationship with the Commission from the start. The Public Health Officer designee is a ex officio member on the Commission. I've had the pleasure to and privilege to serve on that Commission. We also do an annual certification of the reporting system, which is an important piece of public accountability, and we have been impressed by the Commission's work. We also have a half-time FTE that works with the Commission on patient safety issues as well. So we are supportive as a department and division. We do hope 14 and 23 pass so they can continue their good work. The other thing I just wanted to mention, because there's been a number of questions around this, is how we work as a Commission with the healthcare industry. And just to remind people, this is not a program. This is not an initiative where we try to slap people on the wrist. It's to learn from your mistakes and make systems changes. So one of the things we've been talking about as a commission recently is how can we get more into hospitals, long-term care facilities, ASC, and be working with people. I think we've made some good progress in working with people on the staff level to get that reporting coming in. I think there's a lot more work that we need to be doing with CEOs and boards, and that's something that we hope to do this next year.
Thank you. Further comments? These two bills are not dead, and so we just need a little bit more time to work on it and see what changes, if any, need to happen. So thank you very much, and we'll be seeing you again. With that, I'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 25, and I actually need to open a full committee. We now have a quorum. I'd like to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 25, and I see Senator Rosenbaum and Senator Courtney. Would you please come forward to introduce the bill? Do you want to make a comment on the bill?
Senate Bill 25, Madam Chair, establishes an Oregon State Hospital Advisory Board. This was a recommendation of the Joint Interim Committee, which was driving this, and we have the two sponsors of the bill here today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I am State Senator Diane Rosenbaum, and I'm very pleased to appear before you today in support of Senate Bill 25. I had the honor of co-chairing in my former life in the State House the Committee on Oregon State Hospital Patient Safety, and the Senate President will be delivering the bulk of our testimony. I just would like to say a few things. Obviously, I think the State Hospital down the street has had enormous problems, and those problems are both in its physical buildings and in the way we care for the people that are there, as well as the people that work there. I think that it says everything about the state of Oregon at this moment in time, that we have been able to come to grips with those problems, that we actually have a plan for correcting them. And the bill before you today is a really important component of that plan. One of the things that came out in the testimony that we had in the interim was that there really is a need for a stronger connection between the Oregon State Hospital and the community in which it sits. And so the proposal before you is to create a community board to allow that to be not just a symbolic relationship, but one that is ongoing, and has the right people on it, and that is able to actually make sure that as the hospital moves forward, people in the community are part and parcel of making the changes that will bring us into line with the requirements of the law and also the spirit of the way we want to take care of people that need mental health care. So without further ado, I would just commend the bill to you and would be happy to answer any questions as I can.
Senator Courtney.
Thank you, Chairman Sanderson and Vice Chair Cruz, Senator Bates, Senator Morris, Committee Administrator Shook, and members of the Senate Health Care and Veterans Affairs Committee. My name is Peter Courtney, and I live at 2925 Island View Drive North here in Salem, and I'm here today to testify in support of Senate Bill 25. In November of 2007, as some of you may remember, the feds came in and we're investigating what we call the state hospital here in Oregon for civil rights complaints and alleged violations. And about a year ago, the feds issued their report, and it wasn't good. The report contained quite a bit of evidence of patient abuse, low staffing levels and morale, inadequate facilities, and the list went on and on and on. The feds made it very clear to us, as well as to our Department of Justice, Attorney General's Office, that things needed to improve or they would simply take over the state hospital. And while that may seem like an idle threat sometimes, they did just that in the state of Hawaii. They took over the state of Hawaii state hospital and mental health system, when they saw grievance violations of patients' abuse and other things there, and they did not see quite a bit any kind of action, sufficient action by the states to move in and try to correct things. We went to work right away, and we created a joint committee on the Oregon State Hospital Patient Care, we call it. We took members from the House and Senate who wanted to serve, Democrats and Republicans. We co-chaired it with then the Representative Diane Rosenbaum, who is now, of course, a state senator, who sits to my right. She was also the Speaker Pro Tem. We co-chaired as well as with the President of the Senate, myself. We held five meetings, and I'm not going to go into how extensive those meetings were, where they were located, but they were extensive, well attended, much testimony. And one of the only piece of legislation to actually result was this piece of legislation, Senate Bill 2-5. I am very grateful to Representative then, now State Senator Rosenbaum, the co-chair, and to all the members of that committee who were invested in this issue, and the many people who came to testify, all of whom are first and foremost concerned about the well-being of patients and staff at the hospital, and I might add, the general public. And that should have been added to my testimony. It isn't. So you have the patients, you have the staff, and you have the general public. Those are the three drumbeats that we constantly came back to, because it was so apparent in looking at the federal report that came down from the federal Department of Justice that these were serious allegations in all areas. We hired many things we have done since then during our meetings. We hired a new superintendent, a chief medical officer. They had not had a chief medical officer out there for some time, and I think the good Senator Bates might understand the magnitude of that. It was unbelievable. They brought an extraordinary figure. And thanks to the influx of money from the emergency board, they've added already 100 new additional staff. All that has taken place since the feds came down with that report, as well as the meeting of this joint committee that met, as I say, five times in 1 year period. In September, we broke ground on a new state hospital in Salem. It was on time and on budget. We believe this hospital replacement project will help us solve many of the facility problems identified in the Cripper report. That's very important. While I've mentioned patients and I mentioned staff and the public, the facilities out there are so antiquated, so poor condition, that in itself was a huge barrier to us making any progress if we don't go to the more modern approaches of facilities. And I'm sure a lot of you, not all of you, understand what I mean. I don't have the kind of backgrounds that most of you have, some of you have, all of you have, to know that. But it was very important to just the design. We needed to dramatically come up with a new facility. We know that the new hospital will make a huge difference in the lives of patients and staff and the public. We also know that this alone is not sufficient to bring about real and lasting change. And that gets us to where we are today. We need a change of culture and a support system that's responsive to patients, family, staff, and the public. That is why we came up with the concept of a board of directors for that state hospital, which is what this bill does. Now, many of you, I think some of you at least, have served on board of directors for hospitals in your areas. You're very familiar with them. This is akin to that. So I'm not going to get into the different duties and responsibilities you had on those boards, but that is what we have in mind for this board, if I may speak generically. We needed this as an ongoing board to give directions and advice and oversight to make sure that this hospital, when it is up and going, staffed as well as new, pays a significant attention to the patients, to the staffing, and to the public, because even though we might do all these things, we need this huge cultural change. It's my understanding that the number and makeup of the board members in this piece of legislation was agreed to upon thorough discussions between the advocates, the Oregon State Hospital staff, and other vested parties. There may be some continuing disagreement over the breakdown of these directors, but I trust that this committee, the Health and Veterans Affairs Committee, will do an admirable job in balancing the needs of the various groups and arrive at an appropriate makeup of the board. So I'm here to say that, yes, this is a piece of legislation. We worked hard on it, although at the end, I remember we heard that we wanted to be sure we pre-session file it. We knew that the issue of who's on the board and how many was a work in progress. It's a work in progress. I'll be very frank with you. And we don't mean to just dump it on you, but I'm giving you a signal, at least from my standpoint, it's a work in progress. We're not saying don't touch this bill. I would never say that. I mean, you know, heck, anything I'm involved in, please touch it. Please touch it. I know we have an amendment today that is housekeeping measure related to compensation of the board members. I am supportive of that amendment. Thank you for letting me testify, and thank you for listening. And with that, I, both the good Senator Rosenbaum and myself would be available for any questions or comments you may have.
Okay, we do have a fiscal impact statement on that, and there may be another amendment coming forward, and so when that comes forward, we'll discuss it, but then we would like to then have that discussion again with you after you've seen it, if that's appropriate.
It's Chair Montesanos and members of the committee, it's in your jurisdiction. You have the bill.
Senator Cruz.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. President, you're right. Just some concerns about the makeup of the board, and I mean, when I'm looking at big picture mental health system, and this is clearly a key component of that, but there's some nexus things here that I'm wondering if they need to be addressed, some connection to the community mental health system in this board, because this is kind of going to be the mental health authority. I know it's just the state hospital, but the connection to community-based mental health clearly needs to be there at some point in time. There's going to be some ongoing and upcoming issues with the PSRB and connection into corrections. I mean, there's a lot of other issues here that I think need to be addressed. I'm just wondering how we make sure that those sorts of issues are going to be addressed by this board. And we can get into some details at another point in time, but I'm just looking at the increasing number of forensic patients that we're having in the state, and the appropriate placement and the appropriate designation of those folks. And quite honestly, whether the state hospital is going to be able to absorb the increase we're going to see over time, number one, and what the, I mean, we can get into some issues as to, for example, if we are treating pedophiles as people with mental health issues, which clearly they have issues, but at this point in time, we don't necessarily have any drug that can quote unquote cure those people, whereas somebody who is bipolar on proper medication can function relatively well. So should this whole group of people be in the state hospital, or is there more appropriate settings? You know, I'm not sure how we get at these issues, but we're going to have we have a potential overloading of the system unless we address those issues, and I'm wondering if this board is the place that we have those discussions, and if it is, do we need to look at maybe a change in the mix of who's serving?
Senator Montesanos and Senator Cruz, this is just Peter talking. I don't think so. You've asked a global statement about this. This board is meant to deal with the Oregon State Hospital and the patients and the staff there. We want to start there. We had some general discussions about how broad this board is to be. We were talking about the Oregon State Hospital, the new facility being built out there on Center Street.
Right.
If we're going to get into having a super board that overlooks all the new facilities we might build and all the issues involving community mental health facility, that's not where we were trying to go here. This facility is so significant. What's gone on in the past and what needs to go on in the future is so significant in terms of changes and things. We focused, I believe, and Senator Rosenbaum can correct me, on the board being there. Now, in the years to come, if you want to create a board or add to the board's duties, responsibility, overview site, that's one thing. But I would like to start where I think it should start, the Oregon State Hospital. All the other issues you talk about, critically important. We have to make public policies involving all that. That is involving other players. I mean, you have people here who could comment on it, the board could comment on it. But basically, they're going to deal with the superintendent of that hospital, the chief medical officers, as well as the Department of Human Resources, as well as the people that are at that hospital when they're there. So that the people are there, the patients, and the staff are there, their primary responsibilities. I added the public, but basically, those are the two. So that's how I view it at this particular time. Again, where we'll be 10 years from now or 20 years from now, if this board is put together through your direction and guidance, that's another issue. But today, as we start out, I'd have to say no to your general questions, your general question about the global big picture issues that I think you asked about Senator Cruz. Now, Senator Rosenbaum, if you want to comment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Cruz, I would just add that I think we had a lot of discussion on our interim committee about the fact that there are many other issues to do with the mental health system that we have, whether it's the forensic component or the community component. And clearly, this board is not meant to usurp a public policy function of the legislature or local government or any other of the entities that participate, but it is meant very clearly to be a working board that will help working with the superintendent and the people who work at the hospital make sure that we have as good a hospital as we can possibly have. And I think, you know, the debates that you talked about will take place outside of this board. This board really was never intended to be a place where people would sit and just grapple with those tough questions that this committee and other entities will appropriately do.
Just a quick follow-up.
Okay.
I'm not going to dispute that, and I know this is important work, and I'm not trying to minimize the importance of the work you put in. I just don't want anybody to walk away assuming that we have really solved the problem, because clearly we haven't. And Ms. President, you said, you know, 10 years, 20 years from now, it may be different, and I would submit to you that the time to deal with that is now, not 10 years from now. But, I mean, I've been an advocate for community-based mental health and the needs in that system for quite some time now, and I guess this is... I'm a little bit on my bully pulpit here, so we will continue the discussions into the future. So,
Senator Morissette.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I had a conversation yesterday with Jane Ellen about a bill that we will hear in the next couple of days, I think. Are you familiar with that bill? Okay. Which will address that problem. And it is another systemic approach, which we have to do. We have to start with the basic problems in the community, keep the people out of the institutions as best we can, and that's what this other board, I think, is all about.
Another board.
Yes. But Senator Morris, to do what you want to do.
I understand. No,
Senator
I understand.
Morris and then Senator Bates.
Thank you, Madam Chair. President Courtney and Senator Rosenbaum, was there any consideration of making this not so much an advisory board, but truly a governing board that would have the ability to, you might say, implement and work with the administration of that facility in a way that's a little different than just being an advisory board?
Good question. Thank you.
Chair Moses and Senator Morris. You know, we have a brand new superintendent out there who I think we got out of the Eugene Hospital area.
Springfield.
Excuse me. highly regarded, and he went in for shock when he got there, and I knew he would, but he's doing a heck of a job. We have a chief medical officer, new staff. These are very talented people, given an impossible mission, given what's existed out there for just years and years. We come up with the idea of a board. They came up with it as much as anyone else, as I recall. It came from them. I want to be very careful as we start out, as we try to go down this, and I look to Senator Bates for some help here. You bring in people at a given time and as an institution evolves, and then you bring in those who follow them. But they're brought in as shock troops. They're the shock troop, if you understand what I'm saying. You bring in a board who today can simply oversight them too much, then perhaps that is not in the best interest of that institution, what we're trying to do here today. Whereas down the road, Senator Morris, I'm not trying to play games with you. I'm trying to answer this question as best I can. Where things, you get the new culture. You get, you know, you've got a great, good hospital. It's working well. So then you have the new other superintendents, et cetera. Then you bring in a board on an ongoing basis. So for me, if initially I thought, yeah, this board is going to have, it has significant authority, the kind of authority that I think you're referring to, Senator Morris. Do you want to load it up with that authority right off the bat, et cetera, et cetera? I don't know. And you need to look at the wording of the legislation. To be frank with you, when we introduced it, these Peter felt, I says, you know, I really want to get this into the committee process. I really want a committee to work this thing in the session. I really want them to hear what is said. And that committee, if it's the right committee, I think it is, they will deem what is in the best interest at this time in the history of that hospital to decide how much authority and oversight the board should have. But I do want to say to you, I hope you do hear from this new superintendent, the chief medical, I do hope you get into that in some of your public hearing, not to tell you, Chairman Sanders, how to run your committee. And then I think you could get a better answer to that, Senator Morris. And that's the best way I can answer it.
Thank you.
Senator Bates.
Well, thank you. Senator Rosenbaum, Mr. President, I want to thank you for doing this. This is transformational for that hospital. My first reaction to this is that if this had been in place 40 years ago, we probably wouldn't be where we're at now. Most hospitals are, in fact, responsible to a board that watches and oversees, and that board is not made up of the people running the hospital. It's made up by people throughout the community, and just the way this is set up is basically the way we should go, I think. So I appreciate the work, and obviously a lot of thought's gone into this. And I'm going to confine my questions just to this board, because there's a couple of things that I want to know your intent on, so that as we go through our discussions of what this board looks like, I'll have an idea of what you were thinking, too. Obviously, it's 11 board members. There are some questions, as I read through the bill, about governor appointing for four-year terms, and then an unknown number of board members being appointed by the President of the Senate and the Speaker of the House. It wasn't spelled out how many of each, and for some reason it's a two-year term for those, while the governor's is four-year terms. And I'd like to hear kind of what you're thinking there. Give us some guidance of where you would think we might want to go, or is it an open book that we should deal with here in the committee process? The other issue, obviously, you've alluded to is, and I've talked to some of the advocates about what the board members would be representing as far as background is concerned, and we'll walk through that here, I'm sure, in your committee. But I would like to hear a little bit about what you're thinking about as far as the role of the Speaker, the role of the President, the role of the Governor in appointing these members, because it seems to be kind of loose language here. I'd kind of like to understand what you're thinking so we can go forward with that.
Madam Chair, Senator Bates, I'm just rereading the bill now. It seems pretty clear to me that mm-hmm. the two legislative appointees are non-voting members appointed respectively by the Speaker of the House and the President of the Senate. I think you are right that the function of those members certainly could be discussed more in the hearings that you're about to have, but I think the important components of the board really are before you, that these were the entities that we felt had the most at stake in the hospital, and that included consumers of mental health care, people that provide that care, family members of people who are hospitalized, and then the legislative members participating in addition to those. So I think that the board could certainly be amplified, but I think the basic structure that we put before you is a sound one and was meant to be a board not too big. I mean, in answer to Senator Morris' question, you obviously could have a different kind of board, but this is really a different animal than a private hospital board. You know, normally, to my knowledge, hospital boards do a lot of fundraising. Board members are recruited for different purposes than some of what we're looking at in this structure. So I just would say, certainly work the bill, but I think we hope that you will preserve the basic integrity of this structure.
Chairman Sanders and Senator Bates, I think I have a confession to make. We actually ran out of time on this bill. We had those five meetings, but we didn't have the idea of really getting into the board until about the third or fourth meeting. It was just happened to be mentioned. And so we thought, well, we better get a piece of legislation, pre-session file, because we like the idea generally. And I remember we held one last meeting. We weren't going to hold any more meetings, but we made one last meeting just to introduce this bill officially as a committee bill. And some of the things, Senator Bates, that you brought up, the things that Senator Morris has brought up, even some of the things you brought up, Senator Cruz, were brought up quickly. And we said, wait a minute, we can't do all that now. This is our last meeting. We want to pre-session file the bill. I'm just going to be very frank with you. You can check the records and you can condemn us for that, but the fact is we didn't start out thinking if we get a board, our first meeting way back in February in the bowels of the state hospital, I'll never forget that meeting there. Hey, we got a board, we'll will take care of it. I hadn't even thought of that, to tell you the truth. And as we worked our way through, all of a sudden, here's this board idea. So you need to know that while it's open and it's vague and there's lines there that's blanks, it's for a reason. We didn't think we could do a good job in reaching conclusions among ourselves about the exact number of people, who should appoint them, or what their duties and responsibilities are. To be very frank with you, it wouldn't be fair. But we did want a vehicle introduced. So that's a general statement to you, Senator Bates, and to you, Senator Morris, in terms of, as well as you, Senator Cruz, with your very pointed statements. And I'll freely admit that. I'm not sorry about that. I'm happy, though, that the general thing is what Senator Rosenbaum said is, we think this board of direction is very much needed. It has to be. It should be. It's as much a part of trying to correct what was happened as the new facilities, as additional staff, and new key supervisory people. The 2 and 4, you know, the frequency of turnover, summer is good, new blood is, you know, that kind of thing, you know, all those things. But we did not put the in-depth thinking into what's before you in terms of those particulars as your questions are forcing us today to try to think in depth. We didn't. Okay. We did do a good job as a committee. I want you to know that. Yes, we did.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is a quick follow-up. I'm first very reassured that you have functioned the same way I have. In the interim, I put a bunch of bills in that were not completely fleshed out there. I didn't have enough time, and so that's kind of reassuring to me. Senator Morris and I have both served on boards in private hospitals, and so we understand some of that at least. This is a different type of animal, and it has to be. I mean, most boards have the power to hire and fire the CEO and some of the other officers, do fundraising, bond sales, and some other things. This is a little different kind of situation, and I think you've reflected that well in this bill. I'm looking forward to working on it with you in this session, and I don't think we'll make huge changes, I wouldn't think, but some fine-tuning along with the help from you and the people you work with should be accomplished here in the next month or so, and maybe we get a good bill out for you. I think you're absolutely right in what you've done, and we'd like to support you in every way we can.
Thanks, and peace.
Okay. Thank you very much. Now, we're running out of time. We were supposed to adjourn by 10, but I do have two people who said they live more than 100 miles from here. Is that true, Robin Henderson? So, Robin, would you come? And Megan Meyer, do you live more than 100 miles? No. Okay. And we'll hear her testimony, and then we will carry this bill on over to Thursday.
Thank you, Senator Morris, and our standing committee. I appreciate your indulgence, and I'll make it brief. My name is Dr. Robin Henderson. I am Director of Behavioral Health Services at Cascade Healthcare Community in Bend, Oregon. We are the only hospital system with an acute psychiatric facility east of the Cascades. I come to you today as the co-chair of the Oregon Community Mental Health Coalition. You may remember from the 2007 session, the Community Mental Health Coalition was very involved in much of the mental health legislation in the Oregon State Hospital Master Plan and fostering the Community Services Work Group report, and we were back again in 2008 with the bill to get the Public Consulting Group report and those types of things. We currently represent the folks from the National Alliance of the Mentally Ill, Mental Health America, Consumers Group, Disability Rights Oregon, the Hospital Association, most of the professional associations that provide health care services to the mentally ill. We also have many nonprofit providers who are with the coalition, the Association of Mental Health Directors, law enforcement partners in crisis. So as you can see, it's a broad array of very committed individuals. And they asked me today to speak to you in favor of this bill. We were very engaged in the development of this bill. We are invested in the makeup of the board. We know that this is going to be a work in process over the next several years. And being as we represent advocates, healthcare professionals, families, and consumers, we trust that we're going to be a big part of this as we go forward. We are very committed to the success of the community system of care in the state hospital, and we feel this is an integral part of that, and we'd like to offer you our support. And anything we can do to help you in the development of this, we're surely available to help. Thank you very much for your time.
And I would encourage you online and afterwards, I think that our administrator can help you track any additional meetings we will have on this and the amendments that might be coming forward, because we certainly want to make sure that you have your input on it.
Madam Chair.
Senator.
Yeah,
President.
Could you please get us the information about your coalition?
Yes.
In detail.
Yes, I will.
Yeah. Thank you.
Any other questions? And I'm sorry for the rest. Thank you very much for your testimony. And for those that came, I'm sorry, but we will be hearing it then on Thursday. With that, we're adjourned.